Jump in, lock in, strap in. It's the Fantasy Domination Podcast.
All right, fantasy football fanatics and fantasy football freaks, it is Thursday night when we are recording this, and it's time for another episode of the Fantasy Domination Podcast.
Woo-wee!
I am your host, the coach, and with me, as always, my co-host, my fantasy football nemesis and friend, Rusty. Rusty, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
Well, I'll tell you something, coach. I'm not great. I'm doing okay right now, but I'm not in my normal happy place for recording the podcast. I had my places getting fumigated because of some insects that some young lady brought in. So, you know, I don't need to get in the details, coach, but let's just say I'm at my favorite dive bar right now. So if things get a little loud or crazy here, I apologize to our lovely listeners tonight. It is what it is. But I'm also not in my happy place due to some shenanigans that happened this past week, which we're going to get into after the intro. I don't want to get too crazy.
That is right. It's been a week of interesting shenanigans in the NFL, and who better to talk about it than a man who's familiar with shenanigans? Rusty, you've had a few, and that's why you, my friend, have been telling me all week you are ready to storm the Phoenix Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals, whatever they're called, the crappy Cardinals. Their front offices, if only you were still allowed in the great state of Arizona. Yes, so what's got you so heated, Rusty? Why do you hate the Arizona Cardinals this week?
Well, I'm not at liberty to discuss why I'm not allowed back in Arizona, but yes. Anyway, if I were allowed back in the lovely state of Arizona, I would be storming the Cardinals head coaching offices because I have a few shares of Mr. David Johnson. And I know we talked earlier in a previous episode about the cuffing strategy, and Chase Edmonds has been looking pretty good. So I was able to handcuff. I know it's not a thing you like to do, coach, but it is something that I've been able to do in terms of handcuffing Chase Edmonds to Mr. David Johnson. So that all works really well when you know that one of them's hurt and the other is going to play. And then last week happened. David Johnson was kind of hurt, but he played well last week, and he had a little bit of an ankle or his back or whatever's going on, and he's active on Sunday. And then he plays one play, he lips off the field, and he's done for the day. Meanwhile, Chase Edmonds on my bench is putting up 30 whatever, and I'm sitting there going, what the heck is going on? And Cliff Kingsbury has been double-talking all the rest of the week, talking about, well, it's because, we were just going to use him sparingly, or, we were just protecting him, or, he got hurt on the first play, and we always going to, like, you know what? No, Cliff Kingsbury, this is not how this goes down. And this is why I'm mad this week, coach, because Cliff Kingsbury has now joined Rusty's poop list in terms of head coaches who I hate. We already know one, Fat Pig Andy Reid, is on that list for various fantasy shenanigans that he has caused me pain on throughout the years. And now we can add Cliff Kingsbury to that list for his double talk and misinformation on David Johnson. It's got me hot. I lost weeks because of it. I got lucky in 1 week. I could have gotten those points from Chase Edmonds, but no. He had to be the stupid coach thing and had to be smarter than everybody else and make us think that David Johnson's going to play just fine. And then out he comes and I get a big fat zero from him. Big fat zero, coach. And And it is so annoying and so frustrating as a fantasy owner because there's absolutely nothing you can do about it when coaches lie through their teeth and try to throw off their opponents, but then throw off all of... And I'll tell you something. I think the NFL is going to have a word with him, coach. I know they're not going to say it publicly, but we know what makes the NFL run. And that's gambling and fantasy football, which is a form of gambling. And when you throw off the gamblers like that, they're not going to be happy. And that's people who are going to stop watching your stupid product, right? And that's what's going to happen. I think Roger Goodell is going to take Cliff Kingsbury's side and he's going to say, you know what? You don't do that stuff again. It's a conspiracy theory, coach, but I'm going with it. It's all I got right now.
No, I absolutely agree. You look at at the NFL right now, even with its recent ups and downs, what's driving interest in that sport is gambling.
Nobody
and
watches it for the football anymore, coach.
No, they don't. Or they watch one team. But the reason you're getting ratings for games outside your markets is because of fantasy and gambling. So, if you're the NFL, the last thing you can do is let some knucklehead college failure screw up your system. You know, Bill Belichick has a habit of monkeying around. You know, we've seen him do some shady stuff over the years, but he always seemed like he was more doing it to have fun. This wasn't about fun. This was definitely, you know, a rookie coach looking like a rookie, and this cannot stand. If the NFL wants to have enough integrity to be respected, to, you know, to maintain its popularity, you can't allow an idiot coach to do something like that.
No, absolutely not.
Even if it's perfectly legitimate for football reasons. I get it. You don't want to let the other team know that your best player is not going to be playing. But if you're one, again, it comes down to the integrity of the game. As soon as you start questioning integrity, the fans are going to start to walk away.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I know it sounds petty and apart, and they won the game. Well, you're playing the Giants. Of course you're going to win that stupid game. But it's just, it's one of those annoying things as a fantasy owner. And it's one thing, you bring up Bill Belichick. At least I know going into it that they're going to have 5,000 running backs per game. And I know I can stay away from that because I just don't know who to pick. Unless one or two of them get hurt, that's when I'm going to grab one of those guys and start them right away, like a sexy Rexy Burkhead when James White is out, or vice versa. Or Sonny Michel's going to do Sonny Michel things, but whatever it's like. But if they're all healthy, you stay away from that. And you know to stay away from that. Because you know there's five of them. But when there's two guys and there's a set starter and a backup, and then the startup gets one play and then you don't play him the rest of the way, that ain't going to fly. Cliff Kingsbury, you're on my eternal poop list for that. It's going to take a lot to get you off of that.
So let's take this in a different direction just for fun. I want to mellow you out here. And I want to talk about one of your stupidest ideas, which I still love. And if the NFL is going to play like this, it's time for us to revisit this in fantasy football, and that is playing best ball.
Best ball.
Best ball. One of my favorite Rusty's. Now, Rusty may have had a couple of Jägermeisters in him when he came up with this one. But hear us out. Instead of picking individual players, you draft team positions. And then whoever scores at that position, you get the points. It's definitely a smaller roster league. It's a little wacky, but if your quarterback gets hurt on the first play of the game, guess what? Doesn't matter. You still get his backup. Mm-hmm. Your running back plays one play, scores 0 points, and then sits out in favor of Chase Edmonds. Guess what? You still get Chase Edmonds points. This is what we're going to come to. And I mean, this is a stupid idea. Let's not pretend otherwise. Rusty was
Right? Because like true best ball is you just draft a bunch of guys and it takes your best lineup every week. But that's a different kind of league.
Well, you were calling it best ball again you were two sheets to the wind.
Well, I was very drunk at the time. So I plead the fifth on that one. Very drunk.
Like, I'm laying out the story for people here. He was completely drunk and came up with a way to revolutionize fantasy football.
Maybe one of the reasons why I'm banned from Arizona.
Might just be. So, you know, if that's what we're going to come to, where we're just going to draft teams, you know, fantasy football will be dead.
But then how will we do the injury handcuff or the backup handcuff strategy that you love so much?
Well, see, that then you've got built-in handcuffs. That's what makes it great. It's like, all right, I'm going to take the New York Giants running backs, which means I get Saquon Barkley, and if anything happens to him, I also get Wayne Gallman.
Wait, are we arguing for or against right now? I kind of lost myself.
What we're saying is NFL integrity is paramount, and as soon as that is gone, so are the fantasy players, so are the gamblers, and so is the NFL as the preeminent sport in this league, or in this country.
Speaking of integrity, how about that officiating?
Oh, you know what? I want to say, can you give me an example of which you speak? But there's too many, and this is a half-hour podcast. So let's just keep it simple. The officiating is terrible this year. The whole pass interference review thing has been, I think we can say politely, poorly implemented.
They have absolutely botched the heck out of that implementation.
Absolutely. It's, we're seeing obvious interference calls, the Golden Tate call against the Patriots.
That Why was is it always it. Golden Tate? Why is Golden Tate always involved in these things?
I Golden don't Tate. Know. He just is. So, yeah, the officiating, I don't know what they can do to fix it. I'd like to see them come up with something, but, I mean, either you just have to go back to whatever happens on the field, happens on the field. Because we also saw that call earlier in the year where, it was the Vikings, where they scored a touchdown and on review when they were looking to see if it, you know, the standard review of any scoring play, they called an offensive pass interference penalty on Dalvin Cook for setting a pick. He wasn't the intended receiver. He wasn't even in on the passing play, but they still flagged him for a penalty because they were reviewing the play anyway. So, again, it comes down to integrity, and if you can't trust the plays, you can't trust the league. So what are you going to do, NFL? How are you going to fix this?
I don't know. I think I saw a posting. They have they're looking for a new vice president of officiating. You want to join? You want to apply for that?
No, I don't want that. I mean, hell, you know how awful that would be, having a bunch of yahoos on podcasts yelling about you every week?
Speaking of lacking integrity, the Minnesota Vikings uniforms tonight. Enough with the color rush garbage. My goodness, that's ugly.
Is there a single team that looks good in their color rush jersey?
No! Nobody.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody.
No. I can't come up with one.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, David Johnson and all that nasty stuff that happened was not the only gentleman to go down this week. For folks who had Carry On Johnson. What is with Johnsons and going down this week?
It was a bad week for Johnsons.
Very bad week for Johnsons. They were getting hurt and bent up all funny, and bad things were happening. They were just getting going down on the field and getting all weak and limp. And anyway, Carry On Johnson. Which escalated very quickly. It started as he was up for the game. Then, well, he might be day-to-day. Well, now he's week-to-week. And all of a sudden, he's on IR. Just, you know, on IR now. So that's another guy who's gone. Carry On Johnson. So now you've got... So everybody was picking up... Who's that? Was it another Johnson? Ty Johnson?
Yep, Ty Johnson.
What's another Johnson's? My goodness.
I don't know. Is Ty Johnson any good? I have no idea. But I know in a couple of leagues where I had some free agent dollars left over, I tend to be, you know, in leagues where we have, you know, free agent bucks, I tend to be very stingy with them. Mm-hmm. I don't spend them very often. I save it so that when there's that guy that pops up towards the middle of the season, you know, I can just go all in on somebody. So I did that in a couple of leagues on Ty Johnson, a 5'10", 212-pound product of Maryland. Drafted in the sixth round with the 186th overall pick. And I spent way more than he deserved in a few leagues because, hey, why not? You know?
Why not indeed? I think the only thing that concerned me is Mr. J.D. McKissic.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you've got, is it going to be the rookie that the team obviously thought enough to draft, or the guy who already washed out of one team and is basically, you know, one step away from being a journeyman? I will always lean towards the rookie. I mean, yeah, we're talking about a team that also, you know, traded away a starting safety to the Seattle Seahawks this week. Which, you know, as a general rule, if the Seahawks are coming after you for a player, that's right up there with if New England calls and says, you know what, kind of interested in this guy. Can we work out a deal? You say no, and you put that guy, you give him even more time. Because if New England is coming after him, there's a good chance he's better than you realize.
Oh, I just don't understand. And the rich get richer. Anyway. Oh, speaking of New England, once again, Josh Gordon truthers. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. That's another weird situation there, too. But Josh Gordon was put on IR by the Patriots this week. Out of nowhere, which is strange. But listen to the way people are talking, it sounds like they're just setting up for him to go elsewhere and play somewhere else this year.
Yeah, because they've said that when he comes off IR, he's going to be cut. So, I don't know. I mean, Josh Gordon had one great season, and then it's been just issues since then.
Right.
So, You know, I mean, if you're still riding for Josh Gordon at this point, congratulations. You know, I don't know what exactly you're expecting, but
I need to see where he's going next, but he also this year didn't look like he had it anymore either. So I'm not really sure what's going to happen there.
Like let's look at his stats through 6 games, 36 targets, 20 receptions, 287 yards and one touchdown.
That's not Josh
So
Gordon numbers.
well, actually, yes it is.
Well,
If
I
you
mean.
prorate that over a season, that's pretty close to what he's been doing in every season, but that really freakish one that he had with Cleveland in 2013.
All right, so maybe this is the real Josh Gordon.
It might just be.
All right. Well, there are a bunch of
And
other. Oh, you got another thing, Coach?
well, I was gonna say, I mean, I do feel bad for him because it sounds like the guy has legitimate substance abuse issues.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's also like, let's just step back to that 2013 team where he had bonkers numbers. He was playing for the Cleveland Browns that went 4-12. He was receiving passes from a combination of Jason Campbell,
My.
Brandon Whedon,
Oh.
Brian Hoyer.
Oh.
You know, yeah, he put up 87. I mean, 87 catches on 159 targets, though. Like, that's not a great, that's almost Zay Jones level catching
Hold on now.
competency.
Zay Jones is not a good football player. I think we can safely say that those conversion numbers are probably on the quarterbacks he was playing with. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, so he had, I mean, 1,600 yards receiving in 14 games. It was just a bonkers season, but they finished 4-12. So what does that tell you? You know, he was getting his because they had nothing else going on that year.
All
And
right.
now, yeah, I mean, do you want, if you're an NFL team, do you want him for anything more than like the veteran minimum? You know,
Someone's gonna do it.
he's always one unfortunate slip up away from another suspension. You know, he seems like he's lost a step. Hate to see it, because you know he might be a semi-decent guy by all accounts. It's just, you know, he just doesn't have it.
Stay off the weed, as Stephen A. Smith would sometimes say. Speaking of staying off the weed, last thing we'll cover. What is wrong with Fat Pig Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs and this whole Patrick Mahomes is back at practice thing? Like, the guy's kneecap came out of place, and he's already back doing things at practice, and they're trying to make it seem like, oh, well, there's a chance he could play this week. Come on, man. I mean, no. Like the guy's knee got put out of place, and we're talking about him coming back already? Like what, a week and a half later? Like somebody needs to smarten up over there. And just, I know they'd like to play games and like to make out think I'll try to outsmart the opposition, whatnot. But again, the dude busts his kneecap. It went in the wrong place. That he should not be anywhere near playing football right now.
Now, I think, I mean, part of it is I think Pat Mahomes has that gladiator mentality.
Somebody needs to take him out for his own good then. I get that. Players want to play. I totally get that. I understand that. I used to be that way myself, coach, until I got shot in the knee with an arrow, but whatever. You know what it is. But someone's got to be the smart person in the room and say, for your own good, kid, no. Rest and rehab. It's enough.
And let's also point out one other thing here. The kneecap was dislocated. He's also playing with a high ankle sprain.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this means both of his legs have issues. So, guy needs to take a seat. Play Matt Moore if you want. There are other options like Eli Manning that you could go out and acquire if you really want a better quarterback to fill in. But let the guy sit. Make him sit. Just
Do the
like,
smart thing.
you know what? Just get him in a room for 10 minutes with Chris Collinsworth. He'll be bored into a coma, and then you just lock the door and leave him there for a couple of weeks.
Good old Chris Collinsworth. All right,
Yes.
well, with that, We're going to wrap up the first part of the podcast. We're going to come back for the second half like we've been doing now lately with the lightning round of the slate of this week's NFL games and what's going to be one fantasy takeaway from all of those games and hopefully set you up for domination this week.
You know what, folks? I'm going to send you out with one fast fact before we hit the break.
Ooh, I like fun facts.
At his pro day, Ty Johnson recorded a 34-inch vertical.
How did the Buffalo Bills not draft him? Terrible football team. All right. With that, we're going to go to break. We'll come right back.
All right, folks. We are back after a quick break and a quick beverage. It is time. We took a little long to go through the first part of this episode, so we are going to go through this speed round, lightning round of looking ahead to this week's games faster than a Bills tailgater through a 2-4.
Or perhaps a flaming table. Or both. It is the Buffalo Bills, after all. And it's the only way for fans to deal with rooting for that terrible team, even though they are 5-1 this year, which is still a shock. Anyway, let's get going. We're going to go through them, chronologically. We're going to go in order that the games...
Chronological order.
The order that the games are happening. We've got first the 2-5, maybe Joe Flacco-led Denver Broncos visiting the 4-2 Indianapolis Colts. I think for me, what I'm looking for this game is Joe Flacco going to play? And if so, how does that drag down everybody else? We also know Emmanuel Sanders is gone. So how will Cortland Sutton deal with being the only man in town?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's all about whether Drew Locke is going to be back from his back injury and ready to go. Because you've watched this team, unfortunately. Joe Flacco's done.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have an offense there. They don't have a quarterback. Joe Flacco's defining characteristic through his many years of success in Baltimore was the arm that he could throw it downfield and get a great pass interference call when it was really needed. That ain't happening in Denver when all he's throwing are 4- and 5-yard passes. So they got two choices. You either just get Drew Locke in that lineup healthy or not and see what he can do so that you know if you're pursuing a quarterback in the next, you know, next year's draft, or, and this is my favorite idea, and I can't remember if I said this in conversation or I said it last week, so forgive me if I did, put Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman in the backfield at the same time with no quarterback. Just mess with teams. It's a hybrid wishbone wildcat. Who knows what's going to happen? Is one guy going to run it? Is he going to pass it? Is the other guy going to do it? You don't know. And that's what makes it not the worst idea I've had this week.
Next, we've got the 2-4 Tampa Bay Buccaneers and whoever their quarterback's going to be visiting the 3-4 Tennessee
Yeah, this has all the hallmarks of another lost season for both of these franchises. You know, we're seeing two top drafted quarterbacks who might be out of a job at the end of the season. Yep. All I can say is, you know, if Chris Godwin might get his... Mike Evans will probably still not get his. O.J. Howard should not be starting in any format. And maybe Derrick Henry. Otherwise... do not, under any circumstances, watch this game. And if you do, do not operate heavy machinery. Next up, what do we got, Rusty?
Oh, sorry, Coach. Next up is, did you do that game? Did you cover that game?
We're good.
Thank you. 3-3-1 Arizona Cardinals, who are starting to heat up a little bit, visiting the 6-1 New Orleans Saints. Sleeper pick for fantasy game of the week, I'm thinking. I think, for me, the question is, Chase Edmonds versus David Johnson. Who are you going to get? And are they going to do anything against New Orleans, who have a sneaky good defense?
Well, and not only that, we don't know who's quarterbacking for New Orleans this week.
We do
not. Drew Brees seems convinced he's going to play. Is this some gamesmanship? Who knows? Is this just a quarterback who doesn't know to take a seat for another week? If Drew Brees plays, or you know what, heck, even if Teddy Bridgewater plays, this is the game you want on at 1 o'clock, I think. It's going to be wild. It's going to be fun. I wouldn't be shocked if the Cardinals pull one out. It'll make no sense. But at the end of the day, it'll be like, oh, I guess they scored more points. They're just that kind of team so far this year.
You want it on at 1 o'clock so you know if guys are going to be playing it in your fantasy lineups. All right. 0-7 Cincinnati Bengals traveling to take on the Los Angeles Rams, who are 4-3. This one's got a blow. I saw an interesting stat this week that teams are outgaining the Bengals on the ground by some ridiculous margin. It's like, I don't know, was it like 1,000 yards to 300 yards or something stupid like that? It's incredible. This is what this smells like, a get right game for Todd Gurley.
I mean, it feels like the potential is there. The issue is, you know, is Todd Gurley there? We just don't know. He's not looked the same since, you know, late in the season last year. Obviously, the playoffs, we all know, huge disappointment. He's kind of played well this year in some spots, but also not so much. So
I think this is a game where if you've got him, and with probably no Malcolm Brown, Daryl Henderson will spell him. But I think if this is – to me, I've got a few Todd Gurley shares I'm rolling out this week, because if not this week, when?
I'm going to go with a different approach here. I'm going to say this is the week that if you've still been holding on to Todd Gurley, use this as leverage to get rid of him. Even if he has a good game against the Bengals, do you really think that it's going to last? I don't. So I'm going to take – I would if I had Gurley and I have him in a couple of leagues, I'm going to try to move him this week. That is my resolution right now.
Maybe you sell high after this week after he runs all over the Bengals. It's a
exactly.
All right. 1-5 New York Jets versus the 3-4 Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, my. I don't even have it. That might be after the way Sam Darnold might be seeing some more ghosts, or maybe that'll just be the fact that Jacksonville's a dead town.
And now the word has come out that the Jets are trying to trade Robbie Anderson, which begs the question, who's left? And also, Le'Veon Bell, hey, was it worth it? you went from a perennial playoff team to a dumpster fire that's looking to actively get worse.
That's work. Speaking of dumpster fires, we got the 2-5 New York Giants traveling to face the 2-3-1 Detroit Lions.
All right. I got a hot take on this one.
All right.
This could be a sneaky good game of the week. I could see some offensive sparks going up here because neither team is especially good on defense. This game could be one where things get lit up. I got a league where I've got Carson Wentz and I've got Daniel Jones. And with Wentz going up against Buffalo and Jones looking at the Lions, I'm seriously thinking of playing Daniel Jones in a league that I am in contention. That's how fun this game could be. Could also be a complete disaster.
Daniel Jones didn't really do great against the previously porous Arizona Cardinals defense. That's the reason why I'd consider slowing my roll in that one. But you got to do you, coach. That's why you're a 59.5¾ time fantasy champion just last week. All right. The San Diego Chargers going to at 2-5, going to face the 3-3 Chicago Bears. If you play defensive special teams as a position, this is a great week to play Chicago. Not that you win already, but we've seen the Chargers absolutely be terrible. Their offensive line can't do anything to protect Phil Rivers. But this is ugly written all over it.
Yeah, if you have to play guys, like, I'd feel okay playing Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen didn't practice today, by the way.
Wonderful. I'd be okay playing Allen Robinson as my wide receiver 3 or maybe 2 if I had to in a bye week situation. Otherwise, I feel like I would stay away from every other offensive player in this game.
All right. 3-4 Philadelphia Eagles traveling to 5-1 Buffalo. I believe this is one of your picks for a potentially sneaky good fantasy game of the week, coach.
No.
Oh. All right.
No. This is my pick to be a 6-3 final score.
It was my pick. That's right. Your pick
that
to
was
be
your
a sneaky
pick.
Fantasy game. Man, how much have I been drinking tonight?
The Bills defense is legit. The Eagles offense is not firing well, and we don't know what the Bills offense is going to do. So if I said it was going to be a 6-3 game, yeah, why not?
Yeah, you're right. I think it's time for me to get my check. Seattle 5-2 going to face Atlanta with or without Matt Ryan. We're not really sure. I mean, Russell Wilson is going to eat in this game, I believe. I'm not sure if there's no Matt Ryan for Atlanta. I don't know what's going to happen to those guys.
The Atlanta Falcons are the walking dead at this point, and especially their coach. You know, again, this is another team that Bill Belichick didn't just beat, he broke them. That insane comeback.
Oh.
You know, took a Super Bowl, what should have been a Super Bowl winning team, and broke them. Mm-hmm. They've, you know, the injuries have killed them the last couple of years. They've been losing major players, and they just don't have a defense. So, you know, the championship window has slammed closed a while ago. There's still some nice fantasy options here, even with the trade of Sanu. And if Matt Ryan plays, he's going to be slinging. Otherwise, yeah, this game is going to be all Seahawks all the time. Mm. Play those guys if you got them. Trade for them if you can. Get DK Metcalf in your bye week lineup. This is going to be a feast for the Seahawks.
A game that looks good on paper, but will probably not be a fantasy bonanza to me. 4-2 Carolina goes to face the 6-0 San Francisco 49ers. That I am saying that right, people. Do not check your audio settings. They're 6-0. They're due with defense, and they're both two very good defensive teams. I'm not really sure. Even though they're 4-2, 6-0, this could be a defensive one.
Yeah, I would be shocked if we get a lot of points, and especially a lot of fantasy points out of this one, because this is going to be a slobber knocker. These teams are going to pound on each other. They are going to, you know, Christian McCaffrey, this will be his worst game of the season. Mm. You know, he's been fantasy dynamite. He's been fantasy plutonium. This is going to be his, you know,
fantasy
his toughest outing.
Yeah. I mean,
and the 49ers, I mean, unless you know, the 49ers are a great example for why you want to be able to play that, you know, your best ball format. You just put in the 49ers running backs. Which guy's it going to be this week? I don't know. I'm just playing the 49ers running backs.
Emmanuel Sanders will make his debut with the San Francisco 49ers. I think it's a little early to expect great things from him, but it will be a good indication to see how they envision. I don't know if he went to a better situation fantasy-wise or not. I don't know if he did. But at least, I don't know.
He definitely went to a better football situation. And the reality is, you know, they don't have a top running or wide receiver there. So, you know, his short-term value might take a week or so to get to where he needs to be. But, you know, he's a veteran. He performs and produces. I like what he could do there for that offense.
All right. 2-4 Cleveland, traveling to face the 7-0 New England Patriots. This is not a Baker Mayfield get right game by any stretch of the imagination. This one feels like an impending bloodbath. But you know, Jarvis Landry guaranteed victory. Maybe you play Odell Beckham in this one for Cleveland, but I don't think you'd be wanting to stop Baker Mayfield because Bill Belichick is going to make him look like a rookie all over again.
Yeah, this one could get ugly. You know, I'm still going to keep Nick Chubb in where I've got him, but I don't like this for the passing game. This is going to be harsh.
Yep. 3-3 Oakland, 4-3 Houston. Maybe a potentially sneaky fantasy game.
Yeah, I mean, Oakland, you know, if their guys play, they're putting up some interesting numbers. Josh Jacobs has been everything you'd want him to be as the, you know, as the first pick in a dynasty draft, which he should have been this past year. I think he's a little banged up this season or this year or this game. Sorry. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, the Titans, Will Fuller injury, that's going to be a challenge, but they're also pretty used to playing without Will Fuller. So, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is going to probably get his and a half. And then, I don't know, people really like Kenny Stills, but I feel like we've all had Kenny Stills on our roster at some point in the last couple of years and thought, yeah, this is the game where he's finally going to break through. Who knows?
Yeah. I think maybe this is the one we will agree on as a potential fantasy game of the week, even without Patrick Mahomes, the Sunday night game with 6-1 Green Bay traveling to face the 5-2 Kansas City Chiefs. Matt Moore may be good enough to help them hang with Green Bay, and there's still enough pieces in place. It certainly won't be like with the Patrick Mahomes show, but I still think there's a lot of points that people are going to get from this one.
I think so. Definitely play your Packers. Kansas City's defense is atrocious, so get those guys in there. And yeah, I mean, if you got, you know, you're not going to sit Travis Kelce under any situation. No. You're not going to sit.
He's a security blanket. I think he may be a good play this week.
He might just be. And you're not going to sit Tyreek Hill. Play him. Probably play Shady McCoy as well. I wouldn't necessarily get into anybody beyond that. I'm never going to play Sammy Watkins, but I think you're good there. It might not be like a 40-35 game like it could have been if Mahomes was in there, but I think both teams are going to get well into the 20s, and at least one of them is going to get into the 30s.
Yeah, I'm liking guys on this one. Finally, Monday Nighter, 0-6 Miami, awful. Played the 2-4 Pittsburgh Steelers, not quite as awful. I'm streaming Mason Rudolph in a couple leagues this week, Coach. I'm hoping it's a gamble that pays off.
Yeah.
I'm going to be drinking a lot on Monday night, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if you're coming down to Monday night watching Mason Rudolph and hoping for him to pull out a victory for you, I worry for your week. It's Miami's had some moments. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is a quality veteran NFL starter. He's getting the most out of that offense, which has been legitimately undermined, by the front office and their attempts to tank the season. I don't know what else to say.
Pua Fatua, I believe, is that what people is that the fancy thing that
I have
suck
no
for
idea.
Luck this year? We'll say you're Pua Fatua. I'm gonna use that. Let's trademark that, Coach, and print some T-shirts.
All right, get the T-shirts out there.
All right. Well, that's the slate of games coming up for this week. Now I think it's time for you to go out there and dominate. So, Coach, got any last words before we sign off for another week of the exciting Fantasy Domination Podcast?
Folks, as always, if you need instant advice, the best place to get us is on Twitter at the FD Pod. You can also email us at fantasydominationpodcast@gmail.com. Talk to us. We'll help you out. Because you know why? Do you know why we offer them advice, Rusty?
Well, I'd say because we want them to go out and dominate.
Absolutely.
Excellent. With that, this has been another production of Harpoon Media. We'll talk to you next week.
Oh, thank you.